look who I've got on my podcast. Sean Connery. No, Carl Icahn.
Yeah, I've been mistaken a lot. Yeah.
I know you have.
For the younger Sean, when he was James Bond. Yeah, I used to, people mistake me for him. That's right. You're very observant.
I remember that. Yeah. I would go down the street with you here in New York.
You're very observant.
But Carl is arguably one of, could be the number one powerful voice in corporate America today.
Thank you. You don't say that much
either. You're pretty quiet.
Well, and give or take a little bit.
You speak up. But anyway, let's go back, Carl. Way back. And you would agree that I was the number one corporate raider, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And that you were number two.
Yeah, I think you were number one. I think you are. You were really good. You went after him pretty good. I used to laugh at the remarks you made. You used to make. I can't remember.
The one reason that I was number one, because I'm 10 years older. You were still in Princeton when I showed up.
That's right. You were older. You look great, but you are.
I'm 87. Yeah. You're what, 79?
Yeah, going on 80. Yeah.
You know, it's good that we're still in here. I'm not in the same game that you're in, but I watch it, and all I'm interested. You go back. I never will forget 1985, and we packed up on the Phillips deal, and you called me, and I know where I was. I was between Pampa and Amarillo on Highway 60, and they gave you the number on my car. And you called me and you said, "Look, are you out of this thing as Phillips deal?" I said, "I'm out, gone." You said, "Okay, I'm going to show you how to do it now." You remember that?
Yeah, we did okay. We did all right. It took a little
time. You know Al. What was his name?
Kingsley.
Yeah. What's his name?
Yeah, he's not that active, but I just talked to him the other day. I mean, he worked with me a number of years, and he's working on a medical company now. He's very involved with some... medical company.
Smart guy.
Yeah, a real smart guy. And he sort of focuses on one or two companies like that. But I don't think he's as active as we are. He's not really into it that much. I tell him you ought to work harder.
Well, when we go back over those, the oil industry was really... It was a sitting duck. I didn't know my ass on what I was doing. But you remember, I went back to 69, made that Hugoton deal. That really did catch
Which one?
Hugoton. They were 20 times our size.
Yeah.
And we did it all with paper. There was no cash in the deal. None of those anymore. But then we tried South and Royalty, and they had Joe Flom working for them. And just beat our ass. And then I said, next time we'll get that guy Joe Flom. And after that, Joe was always with me on all our
days. In Phillips, it was sort of funny. So I figured you beat him up pretty good, but then you got out for some reason. I went in, and I mean, it was really, to me, almost reprehensible. I mean, the way. They would just tell you, if you own the stock, forget it. They did it to you. They were very undervalued, and so we made a fair amount of money on it. I think you did too. But one funny thing was, they sort of pulled the same thing on me they pulled on you. They sued us. So they figured, so you're a guy, you own some stock, you don't really have people behind you, but you might win. So they sued us in every county in Oklahoma, every county. And I said, "Holy God!"
That's a tough one.
But I found a guy over there. I can't remember his name. Single practitioner. They said this guy's the best. He's single practitioner, but you're playing. And I figured this out. I said, "I'll get a guy in Oklahoma. They don't like New York lawyers like Flom. Flom is a New York lawyer. Smart guy, Flom. Nothing against him." So I went in and I found this single practitioner lawyer. They said is great. And I go see him, and he's there. Well, I go on the phone with him.
he has only one assistant, not even an assistant, like a secretary assistant. And don't worry, Cal. Don't worry, Mr. Aka. I'll get rid of all these lawsuits. And sure enough, as they came up, the lawsuits would come up from Flom. He'd knock it out that afternoon. One after another, they fell. Just fell. He would get. He knew what to do in every court. He knew people. He did. He went into Oklahoma. So they beat them all. So now I'm there, and we are the stock, and they had to do something. And I forgot what they did, a big buyback or whatever the hell they did, self-tender. And we all made money, okay? So now I'm really happy, but I get a bill from this lawyer who only worked for me one day, and he's a law practitioner.
He charged you $1 million.
He charged $5 million. $5 million. But we made a great deal of money, and I call him up, and I say to him, I forgot his name, but say Fergus or something, Johan, but this is sort of fun. So I get him, I say, Mr. Aka, how you doing? I must be happy. You must. I said, you did real well. I said, yeah, but I got to tell you, I want to congratulate you. You were brilliant. You did a brilliant job. Oh, thank you, Mr. Aka, thank you. And I said, but there's one thing I have to ask you. I think there might be a mistake. I'm looking at your bill, and you know, it was only, you couldn't spend more than, you know, 10 hours. I said, yeah, it's about right, 8-10 hours. I said, and you charged me $5 million. He said, well, Mr. Aka, you did pretty good yourself, didn't you? I mean, you know, I even mentioned, well, Boone had some problems with Flom, and I got here, I get rid of me. I said, that's right, that's true. I said, but still, can I see your timesheets? So he goes, he said, Mr. Aka, you know what I'm doing now? I said, what are you doing? I'm sitting here, my desk here, and my feet up on the desk. I said, good, that's good to know, but you know you're a busy man, I'm a busy guy. I didn't call to find out what you're doing. I want to congratulate you, again, brilliant. But he said, well, I'm telling you what I'm doing. And I'm looking up at a painting on the wall. I'm looking at the wall, and you know why? I'm looking at a painting. I said, okay. He says, you want to know what the painting is called? Of course we call it. Why is the painting? I said, my granddaughter. And he said, my granddaughter, best gunfighter in the territory, going back, and Vanderbilt hired him. And hired him and his little group of guys.
And getting around the railroad.
Yeah, hey, Vanderbilt hired him to get rid of the James boys, all those guys that were robbing the railroad. This guy is the best gunfighter of his little group. Got rid of the James boy, got rid of the younger brother, got rid of all of them. I said, well, that's fantastic. That's good to know.
He
said it better. He said, I'll ask you a question. You think he charged by the bullet? I said, touche. And I sent him a check for $5 million.
Oh, sure.
The last I ever heard from him, but that was it. I talked to him once again. He was 98 years old or something.
You know how many counties in Oklahoma?
God knows what.
77.
I think they sued us in every one.
Well, see, I grew up in Oklahoma. But when I grew up in Oklahoma, it was Democrat. All Democrat.
Yeah.
They didn't even have a Republican primary. My aunt was my school teacher, and she said to her class, she said, I'm the only Republican in this county. And not because the Republicans are good. They're just not as bad as the Democrats.
Yeah, that's
well, we're kind of the same place today.
Yeah.
None of them are good. Okay, now, this last election, presidential election, in 12, that 77 counties went Republican.
In Oklahoma?
The whole thing.
It changed
red.
Completely.
Yeah.
Why is
unbelievable.
That? I don't follow Oklahoma too much.
All right, let's talk about business a little bit.
Okay, sure.
That you still see, you go in, take these positions, just like we are. I want to tell you this story right quick. 2 years ago, we pulled together what was left of the investment bankers and lawyers in those takeover deals we did, you know, City Service, Gulf, Phillips,
yep,
Unocal.
Yep.
Those four, we pulled those guys together. Never did take a company over, you know that. And we got together at my ranch for 2 days, and we went over the stuff. Could we have ever taken a company over if we knew then what we know now? You know what we came up with? One.
You could have come up with one? You could have taken one?
Phillips. In a proxy fight. But we had to have a proxy fight. And we were afraid of it. You remember how we were always scared of a proxy fight?
Yeah, you were. I can't remember. You were funny though. I remember one deal you did. You had me laughing. I own stock in it, and you probably don't remember this. But the way you delivered it was so funny. I tell everybody the way it doesn't sound as funny, but you're there, and all these institutional guys are there, and the CEO was there. One of those you mentioned, I can't remember. And you come out with graphs, and you say to the CEO, you know, sort of, you know, one of these, you know, sort of stuffed shirt kind of guys, you know, he said, you go, you call him Jameson, I don't know who. He said, Mr. Jameson, let's look, and you got all these institutions watching, let's look at your earnings for the last 8 years. Down, 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 down. Let me look at your production ratio. Down, 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 down. Let me look at your cost. Up, 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 up. Let me look at your revenue, down, 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 down. Don't you think that's a trend?
Yeah.
You said that. Don't you remember that? Don't you think that's a trend? Yeah. Everybody's laughing like hell.
Okay, that was the real deal. And the conclusion to it was they had the highest finding cost.
Yeah, you had that in there. I can't remember. Yeah,
and it was so $240 a barrel.
I remember.
And
that.
Oil was selling for about $15. And I said, Al, can you make.
What was the finding cost?
$240 a barrel. But what we did, they drilled those wells up there in the Canadian, up in Northwest Territories, and they were very, very expensive wells. And it was unfair to do that to them because they were up there exploring and all, but it was part of their cost. And so it truly was. But they couldn't find any oil, was the thing.
Yeah, I've been doing, I've been in that area for years on and off, and we always did great, except now, obviously, with price oil now is pretty bad. So, you know, we're stuck in a couple of them, but I think it'll work out eventually, but I don't know when. I think it's still going to be tough for a while.
Well, I think you're going to be surprised that the oil is...
You're bullish on it?
Yeah, the oil has to come up because supply is going down. And when you look at what's happened, who got hurt, and the reason it happened was that the Saudis wanted to nail the U.S. producers because we're the ones that oversupplied the market, the shale guys.
Shale guys hurt them, yeah.
Okay, so they wanted to stop all that, and they don't quite get it on how the thing works, but they damn sure did it because you went down from 1,609 rigs down to 514 rigs.
Yeah.
And that, okay, when you did that, you took out 500,000 barrels a day off of 9.6 million barrels. And you about every 6 months you're going to take another 500,000 barrels off with the rigs not working. Okay, but who else did it hurt? It hurts the Saudis by 500 million a day. That's what it's costing them. And
so eventually it'll come back, you think.
Okay, listen to me how I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there real quick because you're an impatient guy. Okay, it also costs the Russians the same because they're producing 10 million barrels a day.
Right.
Okay, then who else did it hurt? OPEC and everybody else. The U.S. economy, I can't believe this dumbass Obama doesn't say, look what I did. That, hell, I got oil prices down, the economy's up, everything's great, and screwed the oil companies on the side. I can't believe it. He doesn't do that. And he doesn't ever say anything. He doesn't understand anything about the industry. But anyway, I think today Putin has moved into the Mideast when he went into Syria.
Yeah.
He's got to have money. His country is broke. And he's got to have money.
And it's even better than that because you could argue, if you take your argument to its logic to another conclusion, so they need Putin now. So everybody's loving Putin now.
Well, sure,
right? Because they need him to fight ISIS. So they need him to fight ISIS. So I can imagine his talk with Saudi Arabia. Okay, you need me to help you? Let's stop screwing around with the oil price. And that could be true, and that could happen.
Yeah, but the Saudis want a better price for oil. And
so they work, so sooner or later.
It's gone.
Yeah, but it depends how long, because it's working maybe for both of them, right? Because then they keep oil down for a while. And then put everybody out of, they put these guys out of business. It's hard to turn the spigot back on with all this fracking stuff, so they want to make sure they get rid of it. And you know, the Arctic exploration, all that stuff that people were planning, they're not going to have which is great for them. So then they move it up. It depends when. You know, I think how long. They're looking at these guys in Oklahoma or in North Dakota, and they say, well, how much longer are they going to hold out? So let's do 6 more months of it. You don't know when they
end it. Hey, you watch. It'll be $70 a barrel within 6 months.
Wow.
So
I think it's going to be up, but I can't put a time on it. I hope you're right. Believe me, I hope you're right. It would help me a lot, too. I mean, we're looking for that. But I've been hedged on it. I've shorted some oil itself, you know, and I made a few bucks there, but I'm losing on it. I mean, you know, you got these big positions and stuff. So I think you're going to be right, Boone. You're going to be right sooner or later. I'm not sure how soon. I'm not sure it's 6 months, but who the hell knows, you know?
You go back and look at my record. Where do I make mistakes? It's always the same place.
Too soon.
Exactly.
I remember. Too soon.
Right. And I'm always a guy that has good direction, but my timing.
But it's very hard to pick it. I mean, you can't even blame yourself. Show me a guy in Wall Street that really has consistently picked the move in the whole market. You can be great at picking some stocks, maybe. If you know, some guys have that feel. Or find something, would you look and study, where you have an edge, and you say, I don't care when. It's almost, I hope it goes down because I'll buy more in the market. Because I've never met a guy yet that can pick the market and say, I think it's going up and down. They all write about it, they all get paid for doing it. It's like going to the roulette wheel.
They hit a couple of times, everybody thinks.
Oh, yeah, you hit 3 in a row because it's not going to be lose, win. So you hit 3 in a row, you're a genius until you lose 3 in a row, you know? Then all of a sudden you're a bum. So what you did was, I mean, you're picking the direction. I think you're right. I think you're very right on the direction. But I just.
My direction's always pretty good.
I think you're right. And I think.
Well, I said 6 months.
Yeah, you can't.
6 months will pass real fast.
Well, I'll give you some negatives though. So China's not using as much oil, right? They're not important as much. That's important.
They're important. They're importing half of 11 million barrels. So what they're importing.
How much?
They use 11 million barrels a day. We use 18.
Yeah, but are they? I don't think they're using that much. I think they're going down in their consumption somewhat.
They kind of flattened out.
Yeah.
They're okay. Last year, when demand was projected for 1.4 million barrels, we couldn't figure out what was wrong. And then, guess what? Demand for the year was only 770,000. So I said, okay, China.
What, barrels a day you're talking about?
That was the increased demand is what they were counting on, 770,000.
Increase.
Yes.
Yeah. They never got it.
Got half. And they said, well, China did it to it. No, it was Japan and Europe. China was right there, right on projection. So,
things aren't going so great there still in Europe. I mean, you don't see it going so good.
But demand, wait a minute, demand this year is 1.8. It's great.
Well, how much did it go up to?
Demand last year was 770,000 barrels, this year is 1.8. And we're on it here at the end of the year.
Demand went up this year, but look at supply. Look at what they've done to supply. There's a surplus, right? There is a surplus.
Still, but it's going
surplus.
Down.
All right.
You're coming off now. And so we're going to get there. Okay. But you have, you're not going to ever retire, are you?
No, I don't. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
I wouldn't either.
And I do in so many things, I sort of like it up. You know what I'm really involved in now that's taking up a lot of time is with the government. I don't get involved with the government, but there's one thing you should focus on this that's a complete total absurdity. Sometimes, in any deal, you say to yourself, it hits you, it's a no-brainer, and that's where you make the money. You know this is real cheap, or this is a great buy. You know, every once in a while it just hits you. But here in Washington today, there's one thing that's so absurd that, I'm working on trying to get a law with this, and it's close. So today, you have these companies. So we have an economy that's not that stellar, I don't believe. We have economy that the Federal Reserve has been carrying for 3-4 years, zero interest rates, so you have all these bubbles around. So, and then you got a complete gridlock in Congress. But here there should be no good life, because here I think everybody I talk to agrees. So they have companies in this country have $2.6 trillion sitting over Europe.
Yeah.
And nuts. This is nuts. And they can't take it back because Congress, I'm not even saying give them a holiday, because they said, well, we're waiting for overall tax reform. But you don't have to wait. But here's the worst thing. Not only aren't they taking that back, but as we speak, they're planning what they call inversions, where companies are moving out of the country. So we're looking for jobs. You want to have jobs. You're not getting jobs. You're going to lose jobs. Pfizer's moving out now. They're going to be moving out. All they got to do is say to these companies, you know what? You got the money over there. These companies, rightly so, have made all this money.
They pay taxes over there.
They pay tax over there. So why should they pay double tax? The liberal Democrats are saying, we don't want to give them a tax break. You're not giving them a tax break because you're helping yourself by saying to them.
And they didn't make the money here.
Yeah, they're like the kids say, you know, if you don't do what I want, I won't eat. These guys say, great, don't eat, but we're just going to move out. And they're going to move out. And this is what they're doing. And they got the framework for a bill. But I frankly don't understand, because everybody I talk to, you know, on the House Ways and Means Committee and in the Senate Finance Committee, want to do it. All they got to do is do this bill. $2.6 trillion is over there. A lot of it will come back. Help jobs. Help
get
this
it back in the move. Country.
You get it back. I mean, it's so absurd. I keep talking to people over there, but it's difficult. It's so, we got gridlock in this country. We got to do something about it. I don't know. I'm not a Washington guy, but I've never seen something so absurd. I'm working on that a lot. And then we got all these companies I keep working on, so I'm busy all the time. And what else would I do? I'm going to go play shuffleboard. Getting old, I can't even play tennis anymore, really. So I play
but
some
there's
chess.
One thing
I play
that you
some
can
chess. Be. What's that? Yeah. As long as you can keep
thinking.
You
can make money. Yeah. Let me tell you about Bill Snyder, football coach, Kansas State.
Yeah.
Bill's a friend of mine. I'm 10 years older than him. He came to me 5 years ago. And he said, you know, I retired and you haven't. He said, why aren't you retired? And I said, Bill, I've thought about it. I'm working with people I really like. Enjoy being with them every day. I'm making money, which I like. I'm productive. And I said, if I retire, I've got to find somebody else I like, and I've got to be productive at something. He said, you know, I was productive at winning football games. And he said, but I retired. And he said, I think I made a mistake doing it. And I said, I know you did, because I said, you're uncomfortable and everything else. Okay, the guy that replaced him now has 2 bad years. And he told me that day, he said, that you watch what happens to me. He said, I knew then he's going back to coaching.
He brought him back in?
The next year he went back to Kansas State. He's coaching Kansas State.
How's he doing this year?
He's struggling this year. But he's a damn good.
Yeah, it takes time.
But I write him notes, and he writes me notes back. But he said, you had the most influence on my life, because you said, if you're doing something and you're successful, keep doing it.
You like it, you enjoy it, and you know, people, if you watch people, I mean, if when they're good at something, they're a whole different personality. You know, they're excited, doing it. What are you going to do if you just sit around and retire?
I didn't know how I was going to. That's not true. I haven't seen you in a long time. And today, I thought, I wonder how Carl would be. And I knew you were successful. I knew you were busy.
Yeah.
And I knew you were just like I thought you'd be. I mean, yeah, you're a few years older, but you're still enjoying life and everything else. And how did you find me? Do you think I've...
No, I think you've improved. You're sort of easier going. You know,
you're a little easier going. But you know, I'm on my fifth wife now.
Fifth wife. That takes up a lot of time.
Oh hell yeah.
That takes up a lot of time. That's a lot of work.
Well, we got to stop there on the fifth wife.
Yeah, you can't do it. You're not doing it anymore.
All right. Well, Carl, thanks.
Hey, great seeing you again, Boone.
Good. Thank
you. Great seeing you.